Let's have a word of prayer and get started. Father, we thank you for gathering us together today. We pray that you would be glorified, that our singing, that as we look to your word, you'd speak to us. And Father, just make us that city on a hill that your word talks about. In Jesus' name, amen. We are starting a series called Choose Better. And but first, I want to welcome any of you who are new to this. Maybe you're just exploring faith. Maybe you're just the first time checking things out here, and you're just kind of curious of what goes on. We want to welcome you and say, ask any questions that you want to ask. We just sang a song that was a cool song that we love, but it had an expression in it that to you might seem really, really bizarre. That line, washed by the blood, the analogy in that song and in that phrase. Well, it comes from a verse in Revelations 1:5, and it says, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, let me be clear. Nobody was bathing in blood. This is symbolic. It's symbolic of Christ telling us that it was his blood that was shed that paid the price to clean sin, to wash us spotless, okay? So don't get creeped out by that. In Hebrews 9:22, it says that we would be cleansed with blood. So no one's bathing, and by the way, no one's drinking actual blood either. When we go to the communion table and Jesus said, this is my blood poured out, that's not a thing. So I just wanted to do that for anybody who's brand new here going, what? All right. So in John 10:10, Jesus says this thing that I believe we miss a lot of times. You can look it up. If you need a Bible, take one of the ones in the pew rack with you. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John first. Recognize that book is a library. It has history books. It's got genealogy. It's got poetry. It's got prophecy. It's got all of that in there. But if you want to read about the personality and character of Christ, start off with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And say, who was this Jesus? But Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they might have life and have it to the full. Other translations, like the New Living Translation, says, the thief's purpose, steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. And then so I just want to know who. If we ask the question, who wants a rich and satisfying life? Some guy, maybe him back, I don't want it. I don't need no rich and satisfying life. What are you talking about? Or who wants love, connection, peace during struggle, strength to get through the crud that life throws at us? I think everyone does. That's like just common sense. Everyone wants that, but our society outside of church looks and they don't think that that's what's here. Okay, they don't think that a rich and satisfying life, or life overflowing, they're not saying we'll find that at church. I'd like you to either take a picture of this, write it down, do whatever you need to, and phones are always welcome here. We'll talk about that a little bit later. This, that God does not call us to go to church. He calls us to be his church. See, make it your wallpaper. Tweet it. Post it. Do whatever you have to do. If you're one of those annoying people that saves recipes to your wall so that you'll know where to find them later. Save this to your wall so you'll know where to find it later, okay? Because this, Jesus, is inviting us to a movement. He's inviting us to a movement that has largely been transformed over the years to sitting on our bums on hard seats. Or if we go to one of the super cool, you know, churches, we have reclining seats and cup holders and stuff. You know, but Jesus didn't call us to sit. It wasn't about sitting in straight rows and listening to some guy. All right? That's not what he called us to. So don't just go to church, be the church. But what does that mean? What is the church? I thought it would be helpful to just kind of give an explanation quickly.
Churches are full of people. The broken, the lonely, the wanderers, the hopeful, the enthusiastic, the lost, the passionate, and the faithful. For many, this gathering represents the whole of their church experience. They'll listen attentively to a message, they'll sing a few songs, they'll be invited to pray, and then they'll return to their lives. But for some, questions will start bubbling to the surface of their faith. Is this the extent of what Jesus intended for his followers? Who is the church for? Why does the world need the church? And what is the church after all? Well, the church isn't the building where people attend weekly services. It's not a program, a list of rules, or a philosophy. The church isn't a political affiliation, a country club, or a holiday tradition. The church was never intended to be just an assembly of people wearing nice clothes and saying nice things. The church is all the followers of Jesus everywhere. The Greek word for church is the word ekklesia. It's the combination of two words, ek, which means out, and kaleo, meaning called. Thus, the church, the ekklesia, means the called out ones. In other words, the church, the collective body of all the followers of Jesus everywhere, is called out by someone for something, for a purpose. The beginning of the book of Acts has Jesus calling his disciples to a task, bringing something called the gospel, the good news, to all the world. And this gospel would go out to all the outsiders, the forgotten, the abandoned, and the excluded. And they, those outsiders, would see and receive that good news as actually good. And when Jesus talked about the gospel, it was always in conjunction with something else, something called the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, God's purposes are made apparent. There's justice and righteousness. There's hope for the poor and for the oppressed. And under the kingdom of God, mercy and forgiveness take precedence over bitterness and resentment. Now, people previously deemed to be far from God are brought into his family, adopted as his sons and daughters. And the fullness of the kingdom of God, according to Jesus, is not merely expressed as a way for people to escape an evil world when they die. Rather, the good news of God's kingdom is about the announcement of God's eternity moving into the present world and carrying on into the life to come. The people who belong to Jesus join him in his worldwide restoration project. And the called out ones, the church, are committed to advancing this good news of God's kingdom into the world. Not as a means of helping people avoid the world, but rather to see God's kingdom life being made real here and now. The whole church, with the power of the whole gospel, for the whole world.
That's the church. The ekklesia was a word that meant gathering, the calling. So you could be called out as a congress. You could be called out as a group to meet together. So it was a word that had to do with a gathering for a purpose. And so here we are, called out, gathering for a purpose, and we have to look at what that purpose is. And I think one of the things, as we head to the park this summer, I'm really hoping that we can just be ambassadors of the good news. And I want to challenge you. I want to call you out to join the movement. To join the movement of Jesus. And that's what he's been calling for years. Unfortunately, in many churches, the movement has stopped moving in many ways. We've become the sitment. Go for a week, go for an hour every week and sit, and then go home. And it's not a sitment, it's a movement. I don't know if you looked that up in the dictionary. I don't think there's any such word as a sitment. But if it is, it might have the church sitting next to it as a picture. We shouldn't be a sitment. So as we move to the park this summer, I want us to focus on us as what it says in Matthew 5, starting in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? You're like, Scott, you just talked about this 2 weeks ago. Uh-huh. Yeah, we're going to keep talking about it because we need to be reminded what we are. What good is it if the salt stays in the cupboard? What good is it if the salt meets in a room that you can't see in? What good is it if the salt is not flavoring anything? And it goes on. Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. No one. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. See, I want us to be called out of the shadows. Called out of the shadows, called to make a difference, called from the sitment to the movement. A Jesus difference in the world. How? I have a few suggestions that'll be practical we'll go over. Let your good deeds be known and seen to man. This was the one I didn't update. Darn. I was late in doing my message this morning, and I had one version up, and Roland was much quicker than me, and I already got it up before I got the other. But I wanted to show you, I didn't know if you had seen this post that was on Facebook. We had a picture of our open door kitchen inviting people, and there was Holly and Jim, they're standing in front of these piles of pizza, and there's desserts, and there's Biff and Ruby and Betty, and they're eating, and Biff's giving the thumbs up, and there's this picture and inviting people to come. Well, this person named Mike wrote underneath it, his comment was, "You folks at FBC knock me out. Knock me out." He will comment different times about that is a church that is not a sitment. He doesn't use that word. I need to trademark it. All right. But to be taking Jesus public, today I want three things. Be a joiner, serve surprisingly, and lastly, this won't be a challenge for Brad, be sticky. I don't know why I said that, but it sounded funny. be sticky. And we'll get into what that means. Taking Jesus public. The first one, to be a joiner. And you see in Acts at the end, the second chapter of Acts, notice the red words that I've highlighted here. This is like what is happening in this church of joiners. All right? Met together, shared. Shared money with those in needs. Worshiped together. Met in homes, shared their meals, and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. Remember we talked a few weeks ago about some people who believe that when you're doing it right, when you're following Christ right, everyone will hate you. And that's not accurate, right? If we're living and following Christ, Jesus was magnetic. There are people we're going to love and serve, and they are going to be changed. They're going to find hope. So join us in our cause to love surprisingly. Love in such a way that doesn't make sense to people. Love in such a way that doesn't make sense. Join. Make yourself join and make friendships with others who are right within the church, too. Don't ditch your other friends. Don't ditch that stuff. That's important. That's where we're supposed to be the light. That's where we're supposed to make commitment connections. That's where that stuff happens. Don't move into the bubble. But also, if they know we are Christians by our love, like we looked at last week, we're going to have to know each other. And that means talk to each other. If you see each other in Home Depot and you're like, that person goes to my church, I don't know their name. The other person looks at you and goes, that person goes to my church, I don't know their name. Be like, hey, we go to the same church, right? I don't know your name. It's okay to do that, always. Because 9 out of 10 times, that other person doesn't know your name either. All right? We meet a person, hi, my name's Scott. And they say, hi, my name's Julie. And then I say, so what do you do, Julie? And she talks and stuff. And then I go, I don't know her name. We all do that. We forget names immediately. So we got to give the grace to go, you know what? I already forgot your name. Let's work on this back and forth, back and forth. Be that joiner and be intentional making friends within. I'd also like to challenge you to consider making, we're all members of the same body, right? And in our church, we don't do a 12-week membership class to teach you how much to tithe. We don't do this whole thing. We just kind of like, if you love Jesus and you're involved and active, you're a member of our body. But the government requires us to have something called official members. Official members are people who just jump through the hoop and then they fill out the little form thing. Nobody looks at that form and goes, ah, rejected. Nobody drags you in front of a deacon board to find out if you qualify. There are no interviews, none of that stuff. It's just saying, I'm going to do the official thing and be a member. And we have these books here that are probably 4 toilet reads. 4. Well, for some of you quick guys, maybe 8. A very easy read, very easy read, and it's just, I am a church member, and it's by Thomas Rainer and Tom S. Rainer, and it's a really good book at kind of explaining what is church membership, what does that mean. I've got 10 of them here, and so if you would like one of them and you would like to consider becoming an official member, We have our annual meeting coming up in June. That will be a time where we say, okay, these are all the people who are new members. Everybody stand up who says yes. And everybody stands up, okay, and says yes. And then we're like, woo, you're official. You can now vote, okay? So who needs one? All right, Brad's going to pass it out to a hand that's up. Take one, and then contact me after, and we will get you that little, I'll give you the link to the little membership form thingy that's online, okay? The second thing that we're going to do, we're going to serve surprisingly. Serve surprisingly. Find your place to surprise people by the way you serve. Sacrificially. Find your purpose. Do you know that our society's philosophy is self, 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 self? Self-actualization, self-happiness, getting self is the key. And yet, if we look at the great teachers of the world, the greatest, I call the Son of God, Jesus. Jesus said, If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Okay? Mahatma Gandhi said, the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. Buddha, set your heart on doing good. Do it over and over again, and you will be filled with joy. All right? Confucius, if you want happiness for a year, inherit a fortune. If you want happiness for a lifetime, help someone else. You see, this serving others, loving others, I believe is the way that God wired us. Scripture says the law of God is written on all men's hearts. So sure, some other teachers have taken the same principle and they've said, hey, this is a good idea. Yeah, it's a good idea because that's how God made us. And that's the purpose that we have. That when we serve others, we discover so much in ourselves. So much in ourselves. In Romans 12:7, it's pretty simple. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. So, how can you serve on our city on a hill? That becomes the question. You're like, oh boy, here's the part where he tries to get us to work in nursery and stack chairs. It's more than that. This service suggestions, they're rated 1 to 3 on the scary scale, okay? Now, I've written this knowing that some people are like, well, will other people be there? Because if other people, don't like to be around the other people. So 1 to 3 on the scary scale, it's just sharing on Facebook. Don't be one of those annoying people who's a one-trick pony who just shares the same thing every day in a preachy tone. Share your life. Share your pictures of your grandkids or your kids. Do the things that you do. Put a meme on there. Share capybaras. Do those. That's the capybara reference for this week. There'll be one every week until the Lord comes. Share those things, but also share something that's going on. Maybe our church is having a furniture drive. Maybe we're doing mattresses or something or whatever, and say, oh, cool, my church is doing this, and that's it. It just makes us visible. It takes you out of the shadows. How about this one? If you like to garden, you can adopt the front of our building if you want. Or, even cooler, I could probably run it through our official board right now. Would we be okay with them planting a garden out in the back to be used for food pantry? And all in favor on the board? See, motion passes. See how tough that is to get things done around here? It's tough. There's nobody saying,
What about the insurance liability? What about, will it attract?
None of that. It's like, if it's ministry, let's be yes people. Let's get it done. Maybe that's you. How about, are you a putterer? We got some puttering to do. You just want to come? We give you the combination to get into the building, because most of the city already has it. You come in and you say, oh, look at that paint peeling off the ceiling above the clock over there. That's bad. I like big ladders. I like peeling. And you take the paint, and you're like, woo, I puttered and I did this. It's a 135-year-old building. We got puttering to do that is beyond what we can do. And so that's low scary. How about bake and drop? That takes nothing. You're like, you bake your cookies, you do your thing, and you bring them in,
and maybe you don't even see any people. You just drop them off, or you bring them on a Sunday morning and add them to the hospitality table. Let's go next. We got to up the scale. Up the scale. 4 to 6 on the scary scale. 4 to 6. I'm going to, everybody stand. Everybody stand for a minute. In some churches, the reverend waves over you and does whatever. You are now all officially commissioned as members of our hospitality committee. Sit down. Our welcome committee. What does this mean? This means, like, especially when we're out in the park, you have the freedom to get up. Even while I'm talking, something's going on. Maybe there's a parent there, a dad who's chasing his little ones around. And he's like way over here and he's kind of listening and he's chasing them around. You know what, Dad? You can go over and talk to him. You can direct your little one that you're chasing around to run in the same area. All right? And you make that connection and you're welcoming. Those types of things that just give a hello, where are you from? And I love being outside in the park, and I always tell people, just come try it, because if it stinks, you can leave and not feel awkward. They come here, and they have to be like, ooh, is this over yet, or can I leave now? In the park, there's none of that, okay? Volunteer to serve with our community meals. It's easy, and it's fun. You come to a table and you say, what would you like? Well, I would like the barbecue chicken and some potato. Would you like the green beans? No, I hate green beans. Okay, and you bring it back. You can do that. Help set up and break down in the park. You're going to have to hang out a little bit with me on this one, and that's why this is on the scary scale. I usually get to the park when we're setting up in the summer. I usually get there about 7:30, and the dailies roll in at 7:35 when I'm not set up. No, they come in about an hour later, and so it's all of the sound equipment and stuff that has to come out of my little Hyundai and get set up for our morning in the park. And so Roland and I are there, we're chatting, we're laying down wires, each of us every time is going, now, where does this plug in? Did we plug that in right? You will fit right in, okay? You'll learn quickly. But to be able to say after the service is over that you're the person who's going to jump up and help pack it up again, because that usually just falls on Ed, and sometimes Ed would like to talk to people or whatever. But we would love to get that group together that says we'll help with that. How about this one? Pick things up and put them down. Remember that Planet Fitness?
I pick things up and put them down.
I love that commercial. But in our furniture ministry, that's what you people do. You pick things up and you put them down. And so talk to Dana about that and get involved in that. This one, photos, photos, photos. I am a photographer. But you know what? I'm too busy on Sundays to do any photographing normally. But I would love to have pictures. So if you're a person who loves photography, even if you'd like to learn some and use my big fancy camera, I'll let you. But take pictures, things that are happening. Maybe the kids are playing. Maybe something cute is happening that we can say to the world outside, hey, look at what we do at church. And it disarms. So you can send them to me, send them to Shara. And that's how you can serve medium scary. Okay, now big scary. We got to get to big scary. 7+ on the scary scale. This means people. You're going to be facing people. People, take a week on the hospitality table. Brad, Rachel, stand up. These two. They would love, okay, sit down. They, hour and a half later, no, They would love to say, okay, so-and-so's taking it this week in July and that week. What does that mean, taking it? It means showing up and being like, you brought cookies, you brought muffins, you brought this. We still have coffee carafes, or we still... They're available if we want to do it. Trying to figure something out, all right? But we can put you in touch with them to figure it out. And then you man the coffee table for the whole service. You just kind of hang out over there. Because when people come that are walking in the park, and they come and they're like, hey, can I get a muffin or something? And you're talking to them. It's okay. Even if I'm preaching, even if Paul's preaching somebody else, it's okay to talk to them and be like, shh, quiet, we're hearing the word. No, you don't have to do that, okay? So that one's a little scary. Join the pantry team. Why is this scary? See, Chelsea will tell you it's not. But for that person who I'm thinking of, who's the introvert who doesn't want to meet new people and see people, then this, you're going to see people, right? You're going to have people walk in and you got to say, hi, welcome. And so for people who are scared of saying, hi, welcome, that's scary. And there are people like that, okay? This is a surprise to you. I am high on the extrovert scale. Yeah. I'm high. Robin is low. We take that personality profile that has the all the way from the introvert to the strongest extrovert. She's one of the strongest introverts, and I'm like a 98 extrovert. Jake Groom is the only person I've ever met who scored 100% extrovert. 100%. So talk to Chelsea. You can do this, serve this ministry, and teach your kids about it, even by doing it as a family. Chelsea, they'll train you in how to set up the food, how to be there for just a bit, and take a week during the summer to take the food pantry. And so you can do that. Here's some scary ones. Dust off that musical instrument. You know that guitar you used to play in high school in your garage band? Pick it up again. All right. Dust off that instrument. Maybe your vocals, you're like, I used to sing Allstate Choir, but I don't sing anymore. Well, come on, let's see if we can sing. Ed is the man to talk to back there and talk about how do we involve more people sharing their gifts? How can you use your gifts to serve? And the scary one, want to learn how to teach? Stand up here. Deliver a message, public speaking. Leslie's putting her hand on her nose to say, not me. But I'll tell you what, the two times I've forced her have been powerful. They've been powerful. Here, we believe, where Scripture says, equip the saints for ministry, we believe it's serious. We equip the saints for ministry, and then let them do it. In a lot of places, equip the saints for ministry means teach them how to stack chairs, okay? And so we think it's more than that. So this last one, but I'm too old. I'm too old to do anything. While you are still here, you still have the ability to live out the gospel. Here's some ideas. Pray daily. Write and send cards. Speak for us, for the church. Hey, we're praying for you, thinking about you, your family at First Baptist. I will even give you some fancy Lynn Scott photography cards if you would take this task on. To just, somebody in our body is low, somebody's going through something, be that person who writes those encouragement notes. Maybe develop the old school phone chain for the four of you who aren't online. Do that. Follow up with the least of these. We're not really good at that here. We're not really good at that. But Scripture, when it says for us to the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger, invite you in, or needing clothes? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? The king will tell you, surely, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers, you did for me. Okay? And then, as the music team comes up, the last one, be sticky. Be sticky. I want us to be called to be glue. I need some glue sticks. Which of you is glue sticks? I want to know who's going to stick people together. Definitely, we're called to be a city on a hill, a light, so that it's very visible. This is what goes on my bike. I'm like, you better see me and not kill me, right? You're a light, you're salt, and the last one, be sticky, means be the person that glues people together. Be the person that creates fellowship. Be the person who does dinner parties, make a dine around club, running with Roland. Do what you do and invite others. You don't have to create some big program. Just do what you do and invite others in, and that becomes sticky. We develop relationships, all right? And I have one on there at the end, senior connections. Maybe one of you wants to start a club. It's kind of like youth group in reverse. No lock-ins. But senior connections that says, hey, we're going to the fair together. Hey, anybody want, we're going out to eat. Hey, we're doing this, we're doing that. And we're going to talk all about grandparent things, and we're going to talk about those things. Be sticky to develop fellowship. All right, take out those phones again. Take a picture of that. Take a picture of that. Because what you gonna do to join the movement? Move away from the sitment and join the movement. And let Shara or I know. Just basically, I'm in. I'm part of the movement to bring the good news, better life to this society, to Westbrook, to Wyndham, to all the surrounding areas. And then I want to help by, tell me what you do. Tell Shara what you do. And we'll get you connected, as well as that membership thing. Let us know if that's what you want to pursue. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you've called us to a movement. We thank you that you've entrusted us with just helping people find hope, helping people find new life, helping people find rescue. Lord, might we take that seriously and look for the ways that we can be ambassadors of peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Enjoy this great day.